Okay, well, I presume here and confirm that the commissioners decided that it wouldn't be fair to the witnesses or the commissioners to go too much further tonight. Concentration will flag on all sides. So we will carry on. We will a break at 7, be back at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I said we'll break at 7. But our plan is that I will ask the questions I have for some of his zoning provisions. At the end, if they come before 7, we'll break then. But come what may, we'll break at 7. So, turning to your zone provision, very simple. As I understand the way the text has been written, is this still on the macro zone, or does it reflect the reduction in the maps to the...
Oh, yes, it's the original zone area. The additional changes that would be necessary to this zone to accommodate the reduced zone, and the other changes to the rural provisions are set out in the supplementary statement.
Yes. On the basis that it's the full zone, there's the stating in the first line of the second paragraph of 44.1 correct that large parts of the zone are transitioning from intensive pastoral farming.
It's
given that the full zone is 3,000 hectares, or the best part thereof, and the activity areas are 170.
Oh, sorry, if that was a reduced zone, and it related to the reduced area of OSF, yes, I might need to reflect
So it would be my point would be large parts would be appropriate if there were the reduced node, so but not the macro zone as I would put it.
Yes, that might need to be reflected too in that wording.
The next page 4A, do you think it would be appropriate to talk about the golf course overlay area at the same time? So this comes back to the point I asked you in relation to the text about constraining where to the extent that buildings are required, where they would be, certainly large buildings. Something like within the golf course activity area, there's an overlay in which some activities or the maintenance activities will occur.
Yes, I'd agree that would be an appropriate place to put that.
Are crucial in determining resource consents. You've added reference to the outstanding natural landscapes. What's the verb that relates to the outstanding natural landscapes?
It's the protecting the outside.
In that case, do you not still need the and?
Yeah, I just didn't want that. I didn't want the protection and enhancement of natural character to be loaded in with the outstanding natural landscape. Obviously, sort of somewhat different concepts. So pretending and enhancing extra character, comic, and then flowing that with the protection and enhancing of the that's in the natural landscape.
All right, I'll read to you what I wrote on this, understanding what I thought you meant. High quality tourism, residential, visitor accommodation development set within rural open spaces that protects and enhances natural character and the outstanding natural resources and provides biodiversity enhancement and recreation benefits.
Right, okay.
Well, the. That's a stream of consciousness. Is that what you mean?
No. That what I was meaning was to protect and enhance natural character.
Yes.
Forward looking. So try not to reflect the current state of natural character.
Yes.
Protect and enhance outstanding natural landscapes.
So it might be a matter of repeating the verb.
Potentially, yeah.
Repeat to be clear.
The important concept was one, the protection, which reflects section 6B. That was first and foremost, and that was the feedback from the council was that there was no active action needed from the landscape rather than just describing the setting. So that was a fair point, I agree. But I also think the element, the strong element of the framework and the provisions is actually potentially enhancing parts of the landscape, which would be more of a forward component to the consent and appropriate within an objective.
The note I've just written myself, make sure I've got this, I understand this correctly, is that the verb is protected in relation to our analysis, protection and enhance, repeat that to separate it from natural character. Point A, this is related to Commissioner Hudson's point. Question really is, has that resource study been overtaken? And quite apart from the technical issues about cross-referencing outside documents that are not contained in the plan and are not actually public documents, what about the structure plan? Doesn't the structure plan translate the landscape assessment, embedded in the structure plan, is the landscape assessment of what areas can absorb what?
Absolutely, yes. That's reflected, I suppose, in the ordering policies in a way. By putting the landscape policy first, that determination is made on the capacity of the landscape to absorb change, and then like the structure plan.
My point is that we've gone past the identification point in terms of being prospective. The structure plan already identifies the relevant areas.
Okay, yeah, take that. I guess it's just that somebody wanted to do anything that didn't comply with the structure plan. Wanted to have, which is not beyond the realms of possibility, then could that document not provide a framework of recognised study of landscape absorption that just might help inform that future decision about the appropriateness of that activity?
Well, I suppose the question might be, does the resource study identify any areas as able to absorb development that aren't identified in the structure plan? Where are they?
I don't think it's quite put in, I guess, the black and white terms. It's more the absorption study, I think, was high, medium, mixed, I think, was from memory how to term things. So it was probably not black and white in that sense anyway, really.
Now, in C, the natural character and values of the landscape, I wrote in my margin, which one? What scale of landscape are we talking about in this context?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the... it's the landscape that, as it applies to the zone, or perhaps...
Is it the broad scale of landscape, or is it a narrower view?
I think the...
Or is it all of
them? It's talking about the landscape within which the zone is set.
Now, in terms of what's not there, query whether there needs to be a policy about visibility. I take Ms. Kluger's point that there are some buildings that you don't want to make invisible, namely the ones on the lakeshore, but there are lots of buildings where she's described the endeavours she has made to make as invisible as practically possible. And in terms of a policy framework, surely query whether you want to capture what she's trying to do, put a framework around it.
Hmm. Yeah, so I think that would be what C would be trying to seek to do in terms of minimising visual effects from public places.
That's right, but visibility of buildings and built development is the counterpoint. I think the landscape architects would say, obviously, that not all developments have adverse effects on natural character and values, but in an O&L, it's pretty safe to assume most buildings are not desirable. Not all. There are exceptions. But is there a... Do you think... Would your view be that policy C entirely encompasses all the visibility issues that would need to be considered?
I think the policy's deliberately trying to tier that... I guess the parts of the landscape where you might seek to avoid, manage, and then enable. And there'd be aspects of the development, such as the lake shore area where, or the home site overlay, where you're recognising that's an area that's appropriate based on the mapping and structure plan for enabling to occur. If somebody was wanting to do something that was outside of the home site or in a part of the zone where the activity is not contemplated, then clearly you need that framework of the management of the effects and the values of the landscape. And what I had in mind with the avoidance in B was more linking that to the overlay, the covenant overlay, where we needed to have a link between non-compliant activity status for building, of course. So areas that are outside of the overlay and outside of the specific areas that enable development are what I envisage being captured by C.
Come back to my question. Do we need a policy on visibility, or can we take it as entirely encompassed within C? The relevant, the visibility issues.
Well, I think the the visibility goes to the maintenance of the landscape values. So that would be, the visibility would be a component of those effects, in my mind. And yeah, I think it would be captured by SPAM. The visibility effects.
Sorry, I was busy writing a note, so is that a...
Yes, I think C does the job in my view in terms of visibility.
It's a title cover, in your view.
Yes.
The 44312. To recognise and provide for. Which is, of course, section 6, language. The trouble is the policy is what it's supposed to be doing with recognising and providing for, not sort of have a second-hand provision. So what are we actually trying to say here? Or what are you trying to say? And we may be trying to say.
Well, what I'm trying to say, and this is to the reason, one of the major reasons why we have the open space farm area, is that it provides for the positive environmental benefits that have allowed for a sustainable outcome to be reached in the enablement of the development of within the zone and other areas such as the golf course and the residences and so on. And I wanted to capture that there is a linkage in policy terms between OSF and the role that it has as, if you like, a offsetting and securing those positive environmental benefits, and that relates to the enablement elsewhere, such that if there was an activity that was proposed in OSF that diminished, compromised the ability of those benefits to be realised, that there would be an automatic link made to what that means and a consequence for the enablement of development elsewhere in the zone. So,
would it be correct to, would it capture that idea if it said something like, use those activity areas as a means to protect and enhance open space and landscape values. I think you're nodding there. So,
yes,
so far, so good. And then the provided adverse effects are appropriately addressed. Is that proviso limited to recreational opportunities, or does it relate to open space and landscape values and ecological values?
Yeah, the aspect of the policy was around the nature of the activities that are provided for in the open space farm activity area. So that would just be in the realms of whatever the activities are that are provided, like mostly farming, where recreation activities, or whatever those activities are that might be proposed or that are anticipated in that activity area.
Well, I suppose that the policy doesn't actually talk about farming in those areas. It only talks about enhancing open space and landscape values, ecological values. It's hard to imagine how they could possibly have adverse effects.
Agree. Yeah.
Recreational opportunities might, so I can understand how the proviso would apply to them. But if you're providing for farming, provided address fix are appropriately addressed, it doesn't need to say that.
Yes.
And what does appropriately addressed mean in the policy framework? What is the course of action that it requires to be undertaken?
Well, I mean, that would be relevant to the nature of the offence of whatever the activity was causing. So it's got some help, if you like, through the other supporting policies around the landscape in particular, and that's through policy one. But whatever other effects that might be generated from that particular activity can be addressed, so it could be achieved with either appropriately addressed or something another descriptor like a board revenue mitigator, for example, just to make sure that there was some framework in there to make sure it was appropriately addressing its effects.
Well, I suppose avoid revenue or mitigate wouldn't help me because it still wouldn't tell me what had to happen.
No.
In a general sense. Okay, I need to think about that. Um, 44.316 is the point we previously discussed. You said you wanted to come back to that.
Oh, I did, yes. So this was the 65 hectare question.
Yes.
And I... What did I do? I pointed out them on the wall, didn't I? Where those areas were and the additional areas that were not described on or shown on the stacked as approved plans from the bundle. So the initial figures that I'd got were the ones that were calculated from the mapping or derived from the maps that were produced from the court. Measure, 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 gave a number. What it didn't include, it should, in my view, was the overall area of the native regeneration that can occur within the other areas of the zone that were for set aside
Does the minimum need to include 40 whatever hectares, namely the balance of 65, in native regeneration as opposed to revegetation?
Yes, but not quite 40, because the correction and the update that I'd like to make would be the 14.5 of other. That should be 31. And the reason why it should be 31 is that there was additional planting that was designed to happen within the golf course area as well. Brings that number up. And then that would leave a residual area of 26 hectares of native regeneration.
So the figure should be 8, mitigation revegetation.
31 of other native revege.
And then 26.
Set aside for native regeneration.
And then the question was, I've forgotten who I opposed this to. Might have been Ms. Baker Galloway, about the fact that the court was proceeding on the basis of 1.5 hectares per house site. And from your planning perspective, if you're applying the logic of the court, does that mean that those numbers need to be grossed up? And if so, what should, if they should be,
what should it be?
What should the split be?
Right. Well, I think part of the answer to the question for that is that the framework for mitigation and other native pre-vegetation that was approved by the court was done so adopting the original proposal that was put to the council that then lost out, if you like, the dwelling component of it, the entire area of mitigation planting, even though it wasn't there to mitigate anything in respect of the 8 houses. So I was of the understanding and informed by discussions with my client Ms. Pfluger that the structure, the planting and the mitigation of effects doesn't change from the review strategy perspective, because that was already set out providing for those additional hand houses, but the 8 houses were not approved. And the same applied for the quantum in relation to the native or areas of native regeneration, that provided for the positive environmental benefits in relation to the development generally. And that was premised off the original 50. So I think that that as it sits is, I think, an appropriate package, if you like, of mitigation and enhancement.
And if we took a different view and wanted to apply the letter of the Environment Court logic, accepting that's not what you're suggesting, and we set out to play with these numbers on that basis, presumably you would say that the mitigation revegetation should remain the same, because that's clearly, but what should the split be between native revegetation and regeneration?
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's a question I can easily answer, that the court have applied a formula, if you like. It's a part of their consideration of the development and what was provided, and something perhaps of the positive with the adverse and the negative. The overall package, from what I understand, my discussion with the client, was conceived for that overall amount. So, you could apply any formula. You could use that if you were so minded to, if you felt that was necessary and part of your determination to tip the balances, then that's up to you, and you're entitled to reach a different view, applying a different number. It doesn't look to me that there was any. It was a package that was put together related to that proposal, and that proposal was changing. So, I don't know that from a planning and environmental effects perspective that makes any difference if it stays as it is to me. And I feel that it still would achieve, I said overall, it would just achieve a very sustainable outcome.
That said, if you another way you could potentially split it up, if you looked at the package presented, and if the panel was of a mind to say, well, the number of the quantum of housing has gone up, so if you actually looked at them as in terms of percentages of that package, so So A hectares is 12% of the mitigation revegetation. So if you did a quick calculation on the number of house sites and just used a straight percentage application, that would also be one method, potentially, of...
The mitigation, I think, that's the stuff that's already been embedded.
That's been thrashed about.
Well, the mitigation seems to be directly related to the 8 home sites. It was in place with you in the plans that I've seen show the mitigation proved in a location absent of house sites or 8 house sites. So from a mitigation of effects perspective, I'm absolutely satisfied that the amount of the mitigation revegetation that was proposed of 8 hectares is going to satisfactorily address the effects in terms of the mitigation component. I think it was the next bit around the regeneration and the positive benefits that's perhaps not related as much to so much the effects of the development. It's just an additional area of planting of ecological benefit, not so much related to the direct effects of the development itself. So that's, I'm more than happy that the mitigation planting has the quantum would directly address the effects of those houses in landscape terms.
So, notice on 44.319, I initially wrote in my margin constraints ? And then I thought, well, is this tied to the previous policy? And should it be tied to the previous policy more clearly? So there's two related considerations. Because at the moment, it's all free ball to enable the camping ground area to develop as camping ground.
Yes.
I think the intent was to link the structure plan rule around what the activities are at the campground to a policy, and that was 1.9, but I accept, there may be a way in which 8 and 9 could be put together, and the spatial layout plan is sort of seeking to provide for the layout of the built form. There's no reason why that couldn't be pulled together with the built form and the activities.
One of 4.3.1.10. Query whether the word reflects is the right word.
Maintains would be another word that could be used, potentially.
Thank you. The question I previously harped on about the next policy, words to mitigate their effects. To what extent? To what end point?
Yes. I think, yes, I see what you mean. They probably had that in mind, that avoidance was not a possible outcome for enduring development of that area. And your mitigation of effects was really through the building design and its layout, and having regard to the natural character of the margin of the lake.
as Ms. Fluker said, invisibility is not neither practical nor desired.
No.
So what are we trying to do?
Well, I think we're just trying to manage that as a piece of the building to have regard to its setting on the natural character of that lake margin.
I suppose have regard to the character doesn't tell me a lot either. One of the benefits of being back here at 9 o'clock in the morning is that in between your other briefs and other ones, you can think further about that. The next one, 44.3.1.12, again, it's really the same point as the relation to camping ground. We need to link the provision with the constraints.
Yeah, that's you could do that.
Could I just interrupt? I had a similar query about both of those, and it seemed to me that they're actually in the wrong order. That the policy that you're expressing here needs to first of all acknowledge what the activity is. Mm. And then the next part of the policy is what the assessment of effects would be. Does that make sense? So it may be that they can become one, but otherwise I'd suggest that the order be reversed in relation to establishing what the policy is and the activity and then what the mitigation would be.
Yes, that would be appropriate.
Thank you. Again, 44.3.1.17. Appropriately managed. What endpoint? What environmental endpoint?
That could be fleshed out somewhat to refer perhaps to around the landscape amenity or maintaining the landscape amenity values.
I understand that policy 19 is catch-all. Do you think it adds anything?
I think that the intent there to set an expectation that generally you've got an obligation around effects, which in itself is perhaps not as meaningful, but that's the additional environmental benefits that could result to enable the possibility for further enhancement to occur around any one of those other elements that come about through the zone. And I thought it was important to have a general framework that enables some of that to continue to occur to enable that balancing.
I wonder if the way to do that might be to borrow some of the language, dare I say it, in biodiversity offsets. Talk about residual adverse effects to the extent not mitigated are more than compensated for by positive environmental benefits?
Yes, possibly.
Now, going to the standards, in any territory listed in 44.5.9, I wondered whether that cross-reference was wrong because I couldn't figure out how that worked. What are the activities listed in 44.5.9 that that relate to?
You're right. That was intended to be related to the structure plan law, which is now 44.5.10. So yeah, that's a cross-referencing error.
So yes, so there's 10. Do we need 7 to refer to the number and location of buildings? I'm thinking here of the row of cabins in the camping ground. Are we talking about?
Yeah. Scale, maybe?
Or all of the above, number, scale, and location.
Yep.
You wouldn't want that problem solved by joining a whole lot of motels together.
To reduce the number.
To reduce the number.
Exactly.
The next page, page 13, I think it may just be a matter of the activity status not lining up, but presumably D should be permitted.
Yes.
And the next question is, if it is permitted, does it need a density requirement? Because I think there is a density requirement in the Chapter 21 rules, isn't there?
There is, and that's been introduced through the standard on page 36, which is 44.6.14. And the density of all buildings on the site includes the proposed buildings for less than one farm building per 25 buildings, which is designed to replicate the rural zone rule.
So where was that, sorry?
That's on page 36, rule 44.6.
I suppose. Does that need to cross-reference the standards?
Yes, that would be a very good idea.
And indeed, should 44.5.1 be cross-reference the standards?
Sorry,
44.5.1b. Permit farming activities are permitted activities.
Yeah, so the to be permitted, it's got to comply with the rules of the Table 1 plus the standards of Table 2.
But it would be a good idea to say that.
I think that's what I meant, isn't it?
Well, So that's 44.423, any activity which does not comply with the relevant standard is not count 2. So that's that.
So say again?
On page 10.
Oh, you covered that already.
Yeah, so there's a 44.423 deals with the status of the activities as they relate to count 2.
Yeah, okay, so you've already covered that, the general. That's all.
But I think, generally speaking, I mean, there's no harm in any cross reference like that.
Number three, screening of residential buildings for viewers from the road. Which one? Any road? The state highway? Being a straight take from the consent conditions.
Exactly.
But in which case, do we assume that it's any road, any public road?
It is. You've one step ahead of me, but the having said that, it doesn't give it a reason to replicate it without any thought.
Presumably it wouldn't be any private road.
No, the main views that I took from the evidence of the slew have been from the Wycombe Spoke. The main views that I have taken to be of most importance were those from the Wycombe Spoke Road. So you can be more specific.
Can you see the site at all from the Motor Tapu Road? Just ask the question, maybe it would be better to say any public room.
Good. I'm going to ask my question on the same provision while we're on it.
Yes, sir.
You referred to screening of residential buildings. I wonder why that word residential is needed. Surely if it's visible impacts are the issue, then it should be any building.
Any building, yeah, I agree.
Agreed. And again, page 18, talking about discretion. Like camping areas.
Mm-hmm.
Visibility and dominance of built form will be from that of one of the members Byron Road. Exclude the Motor Tapu Road, which they're going to be right next to. Potentially.
I have to say I took advice from Ms. Fluger on that particular one. It might be that was because it related to the terrace and the dominance as it came along the road.
What would you mean?
There is a. So I mean, I think the answer that it could, yes, it could be, but I'm just conscious that there is a small area of the FH activity area which does go across that, goes across and spans the road, the left of the road. But I think having said that, it still would help if it was from that road, from left of the road as well.
Okay, I'll take that. 44.5.6c to me reads like standard.
Yeah. It does.
It's all the number.
What's that?
All the number.
44.5.5.6.
Bracket
C.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that wording should be tweaked.
So you think the answer is to tweak the wording rather than shift it into the standards?
Well, yeah, it's tidy to have most of those provisions under the same, that they're just trying to understand together just to help put them all in place. You could have them as a standard. But I think it would be pretty better to keep it where it is and just change the wording of it.
I suppose, is there a default rule so that if you have visitor accommodation with people staying more than 6 months in a year, there is a rule that actually applies to that activity?
Not this zone, there's not. So it's just intended to allow for that possibility to occur. So I think that maybe we modify the wording so that it was more in the vein of the activity. Keeping it within that sort of one area that's associated with all the other bits that go with the farm homestead seems to be a tidy.
Well, I suppose, as I say, if you're going to put it as part of the rule,
yes,
then you're going to need default. Mm. If it falls outside that description of the activity,
Need to have a default. And at the moment, I think it's set as restricted description.
At the moment, it's restricted description, so the default. Well, presumably. Should it be non-compliant? Is this something that is definitely discouraged? You would wish it to be discouraged?
I think it would be useful to have it the same status of the non-compliance with the structure clean activity rule, which is discretionary.
Yes, well, I'm going to discuss that in due course as well.
Okay.
Earthworks standards 44.6.2 on page 27.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum volume per home site. What's the definition of home site in particular? Is a tent, a caravan, home site? Mm-hmm. There might be quite a lot of them in the camp.
Yes. I think that was intended to relate to site being a term that's defined under the plan, rather than home site.
Well, given that, it, as I say, it's not a defined term.
Home site's not, but site is.
Yeah, so, yes, so the answer is?
Change it to site.
Change it to site, yes.
And that was one sneak in there.
And no maximum or in the third category. I can understand the golf course, which Mr. Thompson is going to want to push mounds in all sorts of directions, create contours on the golf course. The lakeshore area, no maximum earthworks. Like, it's not that big.
No, that does seem rather generous. Perhaps too generous. There might have been, if I'm remembering, a suggestion of whether or not that was to include. No, I just don't think that was probably appropriate to leave it as no maximum.
So where should that? What should it go to?
Well, I'd be happy if it was down to the next one down. That doesn't. But I could. I'd like to confirm Mr. Bluber about the suitability of that. Would be either one of those two below it.
Well, on the basis that it's 7:02. Yeah. I think we'll call it a night and thank everyone for their patience and rolling on, and we will resume the hearing at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Mr. Page, you want to make...
Yeah, very briefly. You've already given Mr. Ferguson a substantial volume of homework to do. I know it's got on his plate tomorrow and I've got a similar day. Are we really going to be resuming on Tuesday to hear Mr. May's submission, given the work that's come forward from the submitter? I wonder whether that's really practical for us to be in a position to have Mr. Ferguson's material and respond to it next Wednesday.
Well,
I'm not sure what the options are, right?
There are no easy options, Mr. Page. I think we're going to have to struggle on the basis that I regard the homework we've left for Mr. Ferguson as with the assistance of the panel to cross-check against the plan provisions and satisfy ourselves as to the reasoning behind the provisions. But I think we've got to struggle on. I hear what you say, and I understand where you're coming from, but I think that's the best we can do. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
9 a.m. tomorrow.
Thank you.